Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, good.
Put the phone on. I guess people calling in.
Hey, how you doing? That's good.
I don't know if anyone's calling in.
Should I, I can dial.
Maybe just put it on, just in case Adam comes in something.
Okay, let's see. Phone. Okay, let's see, Jane.
Same as 432. Nine nine zero zero.
Thank you for using conferencetown.com. Please enter your conference ID. If you are the moderator, please press 1. Otherwise, please hold to be placed into the conference. You are currently the only person in this conference.
Okay. That's the way we like it, to be the only person in the conference. Okay. Okay, so, I think last time we were doing, right? We did the Rama. Right. Okay, so I was looking at the previous Mishnah, Yudof. Perk Bay's Yudof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going backwards now.
Yeah.
Okay, so, what's your name?
Ariel.
Ariel. Good. Yeah. Where are you from?
Seattle.
Seattle. So your last year in Israel?
Yeah, the best 2 years.
Nice, nice, very nice. Okay. Alrighty. So, yeah. Okay, so. Alright, okay, so the mission starts off. Yeshua Omer. Ayin Hara V'Yetzer Hara. The sinas abrios motzien es adam min haolam. Okay, so these three things take a person out of this world. Okay, so now if you remember this, the beginning of this section was that that each one of these maimarim were things that like Rabbi Yehoshua, this is what he used to expression he used to think or say to himself every day. So these are really expressions that to him was an important thing to remember in order to direct his energies properly and to perfect himself. Okay, so we have to see what's the idea here of these three things, right? So this is what he said, that these three things really destroy a person, take him out of this world. Okay, so what are these three things? So if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah, okay, so he says, Ayin Hara, okay, so that's an expression that, you know, people definitely use a lot in Ayin Hara, you know, you don't want to get an Ayin Hara, okay. So here you have, he explains what an Ayin Hara is. Finally. Right? Okay, so he says, Perish, mi she'eino sameach b'chelko. A person that is not happy with his chelik, he's not satisfied. He's in a state of dissatisfaction. Ve'oyein es chavero. And he eyes his friend, he looks at his friend, Ha'asher Mimenu, who's financially in a better position than him, Masai Yashir Kamohu. And he thinks, he says to himself, when will I have his financial situation? When will I have his wealth? Okay. So a person that's jealous of another person's situation. Okay. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "V'gorim ra li'atzmo v'lechavero." He causes harm to himself and to his friend. Okay. Kashir amru chachmei hateva. Like the chachmei hateva say. Okay, so here he's quoting. He's not quoting, a source from Chazal. He's quoting a source from secular Chacham.
That's Chachmei Teva.
I would think Chachmei Teva, the Chachamim of the Teva of nature, those who study science, the scientists of the day, right? He didn't quote Chazal, but he's quoting the scientists, Chachmei Teva. Right, he didn't say Chachamim or Chazal, the Chachmei Teva, the scientists, those who studied nature. Hachomed mikol asher lerei'ehu. They said, the scientists say, that if a person is jealous from whatever of his friend, avir ole min hamachshava, so avir goes off. Some kind of something goes up from his machshava, from his thoughts. V'sorif es hadvarim she'ien b'hen be'eino hara, and it destroys the things that he's looking at. Okay, gam kirbo yisorif. Also, his insides burn. Achar shemisave lidvarim she'enon shelo. After he's misave, he's desirous of things that are not his. Okay. V'afa pisha hayecholes matzah biyadu lasos. Okay. Even though, I think it means even though he's able. He has the ability, lasos, to
get those.
I think,
desires.
Yeah. Hamachshava hehi mekalkeles es gufahu. The machshava destroys his guf, his body, destroys his physical constitution. Ki yiskatzer rucho. Okay, it shortens his ruach, his strength, motziyasu mina ola, and it takes him out from the world. It shortens his life. Okay. So, what's he saying here? What is it about? He's saying, right, that the jealousy, if a person is jealous of another person, that type of emotion really destroys a person. So could we understand, there are many emotions, there are many frustrations a person has, but he's singling out this particular.
That is Mishino Sameach Bechelko, meaning he is jealous of what other people have. Does that mean, is that what it means? Or he's just not happy with what he has?
Yeah. That's a good question. In other words, you mean because he's saying like sort of you're not Sameach with your own thing, and also you're jealous, are those two things?
Is that
Ayin Hara? The Ayin Hara, right. That's the Ayin Hara. Well, that seems to be the Ayin Hara, that situation.
And if a person is just not satisfied with what he has, that's not necessarily going to cause him this whole distress?
Yeah, could you have one without the other? In other words, could a person be dissatisfied with himself, but not be looking at another guy, not be jealous of another guy. You get it.
Oh, so how does it harm the other person?
Yeah, how does it harm the other person, yeah, right? Yeah, because he mentions there that the Chachmei HaTeva say two things. Harms himself, and it harms the other guy.
Right, like, are you doing something then?
Right.
Seems like this is all just going inside of your own head.
Right, this is going inside of your own head. The other guy may not even know that you feel this way about him. On the contrary, you know, you're showing the guy very nice, you know, outwardly. You're very friendly to the guy. Inwardly, you're very upset. But maybe outwardly, you know, you're a good, very good poker face, and the guy has no idea that you're so jealous of him. If I would have known, right? I mean, a lot of people could do that. Right?
What is the Oyin Eschadero at Usher? He's
eyeing him. He eyes him. The guy's wealthier than him. He's eyeing him.
So does that mean there, like, there is an interest? Because he's going to say, and then he says, Masa Yashir Kamon, like, when am I going to be rich like him?
Right.
So that means there is some interaction?
Well, It's
he wants to find out how what he's doing in order that he's able to become so wealthy. So he'll, you know, try to like squeeze some things out of him, or try to like. There will be an interaction.
Okay. So is he talking about, right? Will there be an interaction? In other words, that would be, I would think, if there's an interaction, that would be a healthy thing. In other words, if I see another guy, you know, is that jealousy? If I see another guy who's successful, and I say, hey, this guy's a successful guy, I'd like to be successful like him. Let me speak to the guy, see what he does. Let me learn from him. I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't think that would be the memra of Rabbi Yehoshua, that situation ruins a person. On the contrary, that's a proper thing. Right? That is a proper thing. Yeah.
Wouldn't depend on how you are going about it. I mean, you could go with, like, I actually want to figure it out. I mean, I'm, you know, new into the business. You're a businessman. I want to get some advice from you.
That's right. Exactly.
That would be a good thing. But here it seems like it's going good. Other way, meaning you're a businessman, I'm just some lonely guy, but like, how do I get wealthy like you? It must be just be some, you know, thing that just occurs without having to actually do all these things.
Okay, well, so what's the difference? In other words, in short, would you call a person that sees another guy who's very successful and says, I want to be successful like that guy. And he goes and he tries to learn from him. Now, why shouldn't we call him a jealous guy too? That's jealousy. You should be Sameach Bechelko, and now what are you doing? Why are you learning from that guy and trying to pick up his things? Because you see, hey, he's wealthier than me. How can I get like that? So, but somehow or other, I don't think, would we call that a jealous guy? Do you call that a jealous guy? A guy who sees another guy who's successful and says, hey, that seems good. I want to do that. And therefore, let me learn from him, see what he's doing, and I will duplicate his thing, and then I'll be wealthy like him. Somehow or other, you wouldn't refer to that guy as, oh, that guy's a jealous guy. Right? But why not? It's the exact same thing. He sees another guy, and he wants to be like him. I mean, isn't that jealousy? I see something else, and I want that thing.
Isn't jealousy more that... It's the fact that he has it and you don't. Not that you would want it just in yourself, but it's the fact that somebody else has it and you don't is what just, you know, makes you unhappy.
Okay.
I don't know how the emotion of jealousy kind of works out.
Right. The fact that he has it and I don't.
I mean, if no one had it, you wouldn't really necessarily desire it. But it's the fact that you're like lower than him.
Okay. Right. If nobody had it, you wouldn't care. But the fact that he's got it, hey.
Right.
Okay.
Can you say that maybe...
Right.
Can you say that maybe that there's a... Jealousy is a certain type of, I guess, thing that consumes you? And in this case, it would be that guy who has it. You just want it because he has it, and if that consumes you, that's jealousy. Not necessarily that if I want to learn from the guy because he's wealthy and I want to figure out how to be wealthy like him. I don't think that's really jealousy. I think, I think you purely want to do it just because, oh, I also want to get rich. But that's because I want to get rich. It's not because he's rich. You know, if you're trying to learn because I just want to figure out the system and how to get rich, then that's not jealousy. That's from a different motive. But the other guy,
that's a different motive. Yes.
Yeah. But the other guy, if you're saying that I want to be rich because he's rich, that's another motive. That motive is based on.
And what's that based on? I want to be rich because he's rich.
That whole motive is just based on the fact that. I want to surpass this other guy, and that somehow consumed you. I don't have that clear, but
right. What is that thing?
It's an ego thing.
That's why?
It's an ego problem. It's not that you want the thing for the thing itself. It's just that, you know, your ego demands that you can't be lower than someone else in any category.
That's right. It's an ego thing. You see, if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what he's really saying, because that's why he says, Misha eno sameach bechelke. Because you can't say that any person that looks at another guy and sees he's a success, and I'll model myself after him. That's a rational thing. That's not, what is, and eno, would you say any guy, nobody could improve themselves, because anybody who improves themselves means he's an eno sameach bechelke. You see, that's not eno sameach bechelko. Eno sameach bechelko means where the person feels bad about his situation. He feels it's an emotional thing, it's an ego thing. He feels that his thing is not good. You see? Now, a person that wants to improve himself, it's not an internal feeling of self that I'm no good. It's a realistic thing. He says, look. This is a very good thing to have. If I could acquire this, this is realistically a good situation. I'll have money, I'll be able to sit and learn. It's not because I feel bad about myself, but it's because I recognize there is a certain good there. You see, the guy who's competing because of Eino Sumech Bechelko, it's not a realistic idea. It's whatever he has, he feels bad about himself. There's an ego deficiency. You see, so even if he has something that's realistically good, it doesn't matter. When he looks at himself, he's dissatisfied. The man can be richer than many people. It doesn't matter. You see, his self, when he looks at the self, he's dissatisfied. You see, so that's why, that's jealousy emanates from that. Jealousy emanates, why do I want to have that? What that guy has, it's not so much what that guy has, but the point is, there's always somebody that he looks at and says, oh, I wish I had that guy's thing. You see, because it's emanating from Eino Sameach Bechelko, he's not happy with himself. So it's not the other guy, it's always, there's always going to be another guy. You know what I mean? It's not a realistic thing that I have a friend who's very wealthy and I'd like to have that. If I didn't see a model like that, maybe I wouldn't even think of it. You see, it's not the case. The case is that the person is in a state of dissatisfaction internally. You see, so there's always, he's always looking for some other thing that I want to be like that. You see, that's the jealousy. That is really the source of the jealousy. But if the person has a realistic idea that I see that guy has this and that's a good thing and he must have a certain ability to gain it, let me learn from him, you see, so then that's a realistic thing. That means this is a good thing, and if I get it, then I'll have something good. Nothing wrong with that, you see. But with the jealousy, it's not because he analyzed and said, wow, that's a good thing, I'd like it, let me figure out how to get that. You see, that would not emanate from jealousy. Because jealousy doesn't propel the person to actually rationally acquire that thing. Jealousy is simply an emotion that remains. You see? He has it and I don't.
So what is his interaction with the other guy?
What's that? See, that's why. If there's an interaction with the other guy where I try to gain knowledge, what's this guy's method? That would not be jealousy.
So, in what?
That would be, the guy has a good thing, I want it.
Right. I guess Iago's question of how is it affecting the other guy?
How does it hurt?
Oh, how does it hurt the other guy? Okay, but before you get to how it hurts the other guy, let's see how it hurts the guy himself, right? Because that's primary,
right?
So how does this, why is this worse than anything else? I mean, there's plenty of emotions. Why is this something that really, that the Chachmei HaTeva say, burns the guy's insides?
Well, I guess at the end it says, doesn't he say that the Chachmei HaTeva said, even though he has the capability of getting it, but like he's...
still going to burn him, right?
Yeah, because he's already like engraved in upon it that like there's no way of him...
That's right.
...capable of doing it, so it's just going to build that... I can never get there.
In other words, even if it's not that thing that he wants, because even if he could get it, you see, he won't really wholeheartedly go after it, because it's not really that thing that he wants. It's a dissatisfaction with the self. You see, so the emotions are tied in with a certain feeling of inferiority. You see, now that burns the guy up because there's no way out of that. I can have an emotion that I'm frustrated. Okay, let's say I'm frustrated. I'm trying to learn how to make a laning. It's very frustrating. It's hard. I feel I have to do it, but it's very hard to do. Okay, that doesn't burn a guy up. Why? Because there's a road to express and to remove the frustration. And even if the road is very long, you see, a frustration that a person knows he can deal with and he can accomplish. You see, even if he's frustrated for very long, it doesn't matter. Because he could tolerate frustration. Every person has frustration. The type of frustration a person can't tolerate is where he senses this frustration, there is no release for it. There's no way out. You see, it's just an endless frustration that has no realistic aim. It's simply, I'm in a state of frustration, and there's nothing I can do about it. You see, that's something that burns a guy up. So this frustration a guy senses, he's just frustrated. The guy has more than me. And even if I get what that guy has, I'm still going to feel somehow he's still better off than me. You see? It's an internal feeling. And no matter how much the guy changes the external world, if he feels that way about himself, he's going in the wrong direction. He has to look into himself. You see?
If he gets the thing, why is he still going to be frustrated?
Because the frustration didn't emanate from that guy. It emanated from him. You see, if the frustration emanated from that guy because I see that guy, something in the external world I want, and if I get it, frustration has to be gone. You see? But if the external world is not the real thing, the real thing is I feel something wrong with me.
So what does he feel wrong with himself?
The person has to go into, but that is part of human psychology, that everybody has a certain level of dissatisfaction with the self. A person has that because a person looks at himself and feels, hey, I could be better. That's part of the human mind, and that's a good thing, you see, to a point. But if that feeling that I could be better, that feeling of dissatisfaction, which is a natural feeling, which motivates people, is very good. A certain sense of self-criticism. A person looks at himself, watches himself, and he thinks, am I doing the right thing? Right? He's vigilant about the self. That's a good thing. But over-vigilance is something that could destroy a guy. Because over-vigilance, you can never possibly answer. You see, if a person is constantly looking at himself and dissatisfied, there's no way that he could ever in reality accomplish something that will satisfy him. You see, the emotion is too powerful. So in the case where that emotion is too strong, how does a person get out of it? Well, one thing I could tell you is a person does not get out of it by changing the outside world. You see? Because it's not coming from the outside world. The only way that he can get out of it is by gaining knowledge of the inside world. You see? That he has to be able to look at himself and recognize, let's put it this way, the first step is certainly he has to recognize where the dissatisfaction is coming, that it's coming from the inside. You see, once the person makes that step, he's gained a certain different perspective. You see? Not necessarily the guy could remove it totally, but certainly he has to have that knowledge. You see, if a person has that knowledge, then he's approaching it in a different perspective. You see? But if he doesn't have that knowledge and he's running after and he's absorbed in this jealousy, he's just getting deeper into the same emotion. Yeah.
So if this stems from the inside self, why does it only start when he's oyen eschatero?
You see, that's not the cause. That's not the cause. The oyen eschatero, it didn't start from there. You see, that's a constant.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Oyen eschatero, that's a product of his personality. You see, he's looking for a outside thing that will confirm his internal. You see, now of course, if he has no wealthy friends, the emotion may not be expressed. It may not express itself fully. In other words, it's a good point. You see, a lot of times a guy can have an internal emotion, and he won't be necessarily fully harmed by it because the situation didn't present itself. In other words, let's say I have an emotion of inferiority, but it happens to be that up until now everybody that I associate with doesn't bring out that emotion. You see, they're all basically on my level or below my level, and that's it. I don't have to grapple with that feeling too much, you see. But the problem is that during the course of his life, you encounter a person that is above you. Then the emotion kicks in. You see, so you're right. It's possible a person could be in a situation where that emotion will not be aggravated. You see. But it'll be a certain external situation will awaken that emotion. Then he's in trouble. You see? And then it's not necessarily true that if he gets out of that situation, the emotion will just go away. Once the emotion has expressed itself, you see, sometimes he's just, or even if that person is no longer present, there are plenty of people around. It's like when you have a person that's very wealthy that feels good that he, you know, attained a certain stature, right? But then, unfortunately, in this world, there is always another guy that's wealthier. So no matter how wealthy a guy gets, there's always another guy. Now, who's the wealthiest guy on Forbes, whatever, the wealthiest people in the world? Fine, but that's the number one spot always changes. So unfortunately in this world we don't have too much control over what other people do. So if a person's involved in that race, there's always another person that's going to present himself. You see? So practically speaking, if a person has that feeling about himself, he's going to find enough situations where that emotion will find an expression. You see?
It doesn't need to be this specific case of your friend's wealth.
Right, that's right. That's right. It's a muscle. It's a muscle. Most people, I mean, it's a good question. Why doesn't he say that the other person's more intelligent, bigger chacham? You see, why does he pick? Why does he pick the case of material competition? So now you can see, because the material competition apparently is where the emotions are more convinced that this is a good. So if the guy has more material wealth, the person feels, oh, that guy's better than me. If a guy has a greater intelligence or greater chachma, then a person can say, okay, but I'm wealthier. Right? But if a person has this sense of jealousy, it usually attaches it to something that's it's convincing to the emotions, not convincing to the mind. You see, if a person has that feeling of jealousy for another person who's wealthier, it's not too much of a consolation, well, I'm a bigger chacham than him. You see, unless you're on a high level. But if you're not on a high level, being a bigger chacham is nice, but the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of the inferiority emotion, usually attaches it to itself to something tangible, to something more convincing to the emotions. And the material is more convincing to the emotions. You know what I mean? So that's the most common expression of that idea of jealousy. You see, but you're right, it could certainly express itself. You find if you read the books about different scientists, you see that it expresses itself in science as well. This guy was jealous that this guy, who came out with the discovery first, you printed it, but I had it first.
It seems like this is also giving like the highest form, because isn't money also the most people desire?
Yeah.
So I mean, it could be any belong, not necessarily he's a wealthy guy.
That's right.
We're saying this is going to be expressed itself when it's...
That's right. That's right. In fact, he had a case. I was reading about this thing in, I forget which book, it's some science book, that you had a case about a person that... I forget exactly what it was, but he came up with a certain idea in physics. And it was like a revolutionary idea, and nobody accepted it. And the guy got very depressed, he was very unhappy. And what happened was, he committed suicide.
Wow.
And it turned out,
mm-hmm.
around a year later, that they came up with certain evidence that confirmed his idea. And then his idea was accepted.
What would you call that guy?
What's that? Sick. I don't know. No, but that's, you see, it's not really the same kind of feeling, right? He had a certain kind of self-image, and he needed acceptance of others, you see? And his motivating drive was really the acceptance of other people, you see? So he was, this apparently he thought was really going to give him great acceptance, and he didn't get it. He got, on the contrary, ridicule. I mean, you can be sure that in that world, if a person comes up with an idea that's not accepted, they ridicule you. They say, you guys are a fool.
Could it be that he was just too consumed by his work and he put in a lot of time and effort and he needed to get it out there? And because still the time he put in there, he just...
I mean, it could be, but they seem to indicate that he was very depressed over the fact that it was not accepted. He tried to... On the contrary, then you have scientists that hide their work. They don't want to put it out there because I don't know why. They feel that, I don't know, because they talk about Newton, that he found the law of gravitation years before. And people, somebody came to him and told him, you know, I was thinking of an idea and it was similar to his idea. He says, yeah, I had that idea. I have these papers from like 10 years ago where I wrote up the whole thing. And he showed the guy, and the guy said, why don't you tell, you know, you should print this. This is a revolutionary idea in physics.
So he was very reluctant to do it, but finally they convinced him to do it, so he printed it, and that was the whole theory of gravity. So you see, like, you have people that are the exact opposite, that are just absorbed in their work and don't want to interact with other people. See, that's another type of ego thing. But it's another type of ego thing. Like, I don't want to involve myself with people. You see. But you have all kinds. You have all kinds. All types, right, as they say. Yeah, but it happens that if you read this, they have biographies of the different scientists and mathematicians, and a lot of them, you see that they come out with an idea, and they go, and another, and they go, one guy, I forget the names, but one guy came up with an idea, and there was another guy that lived in that time who was like an unbelievable genius, and was so advanced in math that people tried to figure out, even when he wrote stuff, they tried to figure out, well, how did you get to this conclusion? And he made little notes on the side, and they're still to this day trying to figure out how he arrived at these conclusions, because he was producing work so fast that he didn't have time to write down all of the equations, how you get from one step to another. So he just put like once in a while a note down. So this guy, this mathematician, went to him and said, oh, I want to tell you over this thing that I figured out, a formula that I figured out. And the guy says, and he told him the thing, and the guy says, I already thought of that 10 years ago, something like that. So they said it became a big fight between these two guys, because every time this guy went to the other guy, he'd say, I figured that out, I had that. And so he felt like he was just trying to get, take credit for everything, so he stopped going to him. But it turned out when they looked at his stuff he wrote up after he died, that the guy had volumes and volumes of stuff that he just never told anybody about. And that, he wasn't lying. He had all those ideas. So, but you see that the interaction between a lot of these people is really very involved with the ego. Not really, they're not necessarily, working together and so it's a prevalent emotion. I mean, this type of emotion is a prevalent emotion, and it definitely, it's a very destructive thing for a person internally. It eats the guy up. It eats the guy up because there's no way out. No matter how much the guy accomplishes, there's still no way out because internally he's upset with himself. You see? So, of course, how does it affect the other guy? So it's an amazing thing because, you see, this is what we say, that a person, when a person is jealous, that you shouldn't create an ayanhara, right? You shouldn't do something that makes another person jealous. And we say one of the reasons is because subconsciously, or even not subconsciously, but certainly subconsciously, a person who's jealous of another person does something that harms him. Not necessarily intentionally, but it creates a very powerful emotion. And that emotion causes a person to treat the other person differently, and it'll harm him. Right? Like a lot of times, I mean, if you notice, a lot of times if a person does something that by mistake, by accident, that was really a harmful thing. And if you look into it, you'll think that you'll realize that the person had some emotion against you. You see, or you yourself, well, sometimes you'll be jealous of another guy, and you'll do something, and you say, hey, why did I do that? And be able to trace it back to the fact that you're envious of him. You see? So that's the Chachmei HaTeva said the same thing. That if a person has this emotion, an other comes up from his machshava and it destroys the object. What does it mean, other comes up from the machshava? I mean, this is not, magic. Obviously, what it means is that they noticed that when a person is jealous of somebody else's thing, somehow or other, a lot of times, something happens to that thing. Unwittingly, in some way, some kind of thing, that the guy will, the object, he'll lose the object, he'll be destroyed. So that's what they mean. It shows you the strength of the emotion.
If you have an emotion that's very powerful, then what happens is, if you have a weak emotion, so you can control it. But if you have a powerful emotion, what happens is, if you control it consciously, you don't do anything intentionally, the emotion somehow comes out. You see, and it'll come out in a way that you don't notice. You see, but that's the power of the emotion. So that's what the Chachmei HaTeva noticed, that the emotion of jealousy stems from a very powerful source. So since it stems from a powerful source, just like you can't really control its expressions, it comes out somehow vis-a-vis the other guy, so too internally. It's very difficult when a person experiences that emotion and can't gain satisfaction. We cause them internal problems. Okay? So that's an interesting thing. Right? Okay. See, then he says an interesting thing. He says, Vizel Ayin HaRasha Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, he says, Uraya lezeh haperish. The proof for this perish is al sha'amar bekan ayin hara bilashon zachar. It says ayin hara is zachar. Shehu ha'oyein bera. Okay, it's talking about the person that is looking. You see, Ulamaila Amru Ayin Ra, in the previous Mishnah, it talked about Ayin Ra'a, which is Nekeva. He says, Sheper Shanuhu Almidas Akilus. That's talking about a different thing. That's talking about the Mida of stinginess. So it's an interesting thing. That the Rav said, Ayin Hara does not mean evil eye. It means the eye of the evil. Right? It means the Ra is referring to the person. That the person, the evil person, looks at somebody else. His eye. You see? But it's not. It doesn't mean evil eye, like an evil eye. You see? So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying the same thing, because he's saying Ra is not modifying Ayin, because Ra is Zachar and Ayin is Nekeva. So if it was evil eye, it would be Ayin Hara'ah. You see, it would be evil eye would be the Ra'ah would be Nekeva. So that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says it's talking about the one who is eyeing you. That's the evil. You see, the evil one who eyes you. But it's not the evil eye.
You repeat that one?
In other words, it's not evil eye, because eye is Nekeva, and Ra is Zachar. So what does Ra mean? It means the iron shell Ha-Ra, the iron of the evil looker. Ha-Oye Ba-Ra, the person that's looking with evil thoughts. You see, but it's not evil eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Evil eye would be
Ra'ah. Because it would mean an evil eye.
I'm saying, and what would that refer to?
So he says that means that the Mishnah talks about before. The evil eye means a person who's stingy. Eye and Ra. An evil eye, meaning the eye he doesn't want to give up things. In other words, he looks at another person and he holds his possessions back. You see, like it's a stinginess. I don't know exactly grammatically why that's but whatever it is, but he says ayin ra'ah, evil eye, means stinginess. It means a guy doesn't want to, a guest comes in, give the guy, you know, give the guy the lower shelf scotch. don't give him the, you know, give him the blended. Don't give him the, what do you call that, single malt. I don't have any single malt. Here's a blended. Give him the Duras, not the Oban. See, like, he doesn't want to. He doesn't have, you know, what do you call it? open-handedness. And he's like, so that the Mishnah says that's a bad thing also. Right? It means that the guy has a certain kind of attitude, like he's the self. See, he can't give up from himself. See, like he feels like a certain kind of specialness about the self. And another guy's coming, he can't, he doesn't have like a certain kind of, you know, objective view. He's tied to the subjective, to the self. That's a bad thing. It's funny how they isolate each thing, but that's a different thing. That's a stinginess, you see. But this, he says, is not talking about, it's talking about the one, the Ra refers to the one who's doing the iron. The one who's doing the looking. Yeah.
So why are we calling that guy Ra?
Why is that guy Ra?
Yeah.
Okay. What you mean, meaning?
Why you said that Ra refers to the person.
The person, yeah.
Right.
Yes. So why do we call him Ra? Meaning we shouldn't call him evil.
Well, there's harm. Isn't he causing harm? Both himself and others.
Right. You mean evil is too sounds like too extreme a term.
Yes, it sounds like.
Right. Sounds a little extreme. I mean, the guy's a jealous guy, okay. I mean he has internal problems. He's dissatisfied with himself. Okay. It's not like he's going out and intentionally hurting the guy. He's keeping it in, okay? Not, right? Now it may be, he keeps it in, he's harming himself, he may harm the other guy, okay, but Ra seems, you think of a evil type of guy, an evil guy, like villain.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's what you think of.
That's what you think of. Guy who goes out there and really, this guy's an evil guy, right? See, but that's the thing, that the Ra evil, I mean, evil maybe isn't a good word, because, you know, but Ra means where the person is functioning improperly. He's functioning against the reality. You see, he's operating under false ideas.
What ideas he operating under is false?
False idea about the self.
What's this idea about the self?
You know, the idea of the self is that my state is no good. You see, now if he'd look at his state, he'd say, nothing wrong.
Isn't that possible? He's right.
What's that?
Isn't it possible he's right, though?
Right. If he's right, then that wouldn't be Ayin Hara. Then that wouldn't be jealousy. Then he'd say, okay, let's see, I'm in a bad state. What can I do to correct it? If I can't correct it, then that's reality. I'm in a bad state. Not everybody's in such a good state. That's my state. A guy has a physical defect. That's my state. Right? If I could correct it, let me correct it. But the right? The feeling that he has stems from an idea that a certain kind of conviction, this is bad. I can't even explain to you why it's bad. It's just bad. You see, that's false. That's a false perception. You see, he's not operating with the perception of reality. He's operating with a certain different type of perception. He's seeing something that's not there. See, it's not really there what he's seeing. So he's operating under an illusion. That's wrong, because anybody who goes out and does a crazy thing, why is he doing a crazy thing? He's not crazy. He's doing a crazy thing because he has an illusion also. A guy who kills another guy, why is he doing? To him, it's not crazy. To him, it makes perfect sense. But what's the craziness? He has a false illusion. You see, a guy who robs, He's not doing something nonsensical intentionally. If he'd have his set of premises, he'd be doing exactly what he should be doing. He's trying to get something that he considers the best thing. He's not trying to run after something that he considers horrible. Why would I do that? Right? So any person that's functioning is functioning for his own benefit, because he says this is the best thing. Now, why is it raw? Because he's under an illusion. It's not the best thing. But if it would be the best thing, you guys doing the right thing. So every evil really is not intentional. It's always unintentional. It's based on a false idea. So the only evil really is false ideas. Right? The worst Rasha is not a Rasha because he's doing evil. He's a Rasha because he has a false idea. But he's acting in conformity to that idea.
How does this hurt the other guy? How did this hurt the other guy again?
So we said, because anytime a person has a powerful emotion that he can't control, will express itself in some way.
You're going to damage the other guy somehow?
You're going to damage the other guy somehow, yeah. If the situation presents itself, there's going to be some kind of damage. You'll say something, you'll reveal something, you'll do something that's, you know, you're not, let's put it this way, you're not powerfully motivated to benefit that guy. The guy that you're extremely jealous of, you're not looking in any way, how can I help this guy?
And did we say that the state of not being satisfied yourself has to also come with wanting something somebody else has? Let's say, can you just not be satisfied with yourself and that's it?
Yeah.
You have to go on someone else.
Could be. Yeah.
Is it the same problem buying Hara or no?
No. If a guy's just not satisfied with himself, no. That's so that wouldn't be on Hara because he's not jealous of the other guy. He's just not happy with himself.
So what is this about this jealousy? Like the wanting what the other guy has that destroys you from the world.
Yeah, why is that destroying you more?
Yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that feel bad about themselves. They're not necessarily jealous of the other guy. So why doesn't he say that, you know, what destroys a guy? Unhappiness. Ain't a sameach b'chalko? Why doesn't the guy say, ain't a sameach b'chalko? Not sameach b'chalko? Why doesn't that destroy the guy? No, it's the jealousy of the other guy. That's a good question. Why is it the jealousy for the other guy?
Isn't that like we said earlier, that until there's expression, it's not necessarily going to come out? Until there's an external reality that brings out the emotion, it's not necessarily going to be expressed.
Even internally, it's not going to be registered?
You mean another one, right? I mean, maybe that's the thing, right? And as if the guy is on Eino Sameach B'Chelko, okay, that's a certain kind of emotion. But once he converts it to jealousy, now he's really finding something in reality that he can express that feeling. So that maybe increases his frustration, because if he doesn't have anything in reality, okay, he's unhappy, maybe he's in a state of unhappiness, but where he's carrying out that unhappiness, now the energy is starting to be activated. Oh, I could get myself out of this. Let me do this. You know, it's sort of like a attempt to, in reality, convert that feeling to reality. And maybe that increases the frustration, right? Because now it's unconvertible. It's not convertible. He's just going to be involved in this crazy pursuit that's just going to aggravate him more. If the guy sometimes not making a move is the best thing. Okay, the guy is unhappy, but that's it. He tries to now do something about the unhappiness in the wrong direction. That makes it worse. Now he's increasing his frustration. If that guy has it, I'm thinking about that guy, and I can't take it. I guess that's the thing. It's like the ultimate state of dissatisfaction, where I sort of put it on that other guy. Now it's really engaged. It's the full engagement. Right, in a dead end. Like sometimes a guy could just, well, what's the normal? The normal expression of unhappiness with self is you go out and try to accomplish. Guy tries to accomplish. So he's not fixed on the other guy. He's just trying to improve himself. He's unhappy with himself. Okay, now he goes to improve himself. So there's some success there. There's some expression, and there's a realistic, he could get engaged in a realistic activity. You know, I'm improving myself. That's a realistic thing. Okay. And there's other parts of the mind that are now engaged and say, hey, this is, you get satisfaction from that. You see, but the jealousy is an unrealistic thing. It's simply an unrealistic thing. So he's outletting the emotion in an unrealistic way. That's very frustrating. Because there's no real satisfaction. If I outlet the emotion in a realistic way, even though it's an unrealistic emotion, I'm going to gain all these things, I'm going to become wealthy, I'm going to run after all these things, and I'm still going to be unhappy with myself. Okay, fine. But in the meantime, the guy's engaged in something productive. You see, and that there's a certain satisfaction in that. So he's partially satisfied. But the jealousy, is it possible? There's no satisfaction whatsoever. Because how are you going to be that guy? It's impossible. If you're fixed on that guy, that's... You see, insofar as you're jealous, there's no satisfaction. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah?
Isn't in a way, like, any Sameach Bechelko sort of Ayin Hara, because it's based on, like, ideals you've seen other people portray in reality? Like, you don't have any Ayin Sameach Bechelko if you... never seen people portray themselves as like having more stuff than
that's
you.
True.
You do.
That's right. That is true. That is true. It's based on, it is based on a comparison between other people, because you're saying, why aren't you happy with yourself? Because you have a certain idea of what you want to be, which comes from other people, some kind of a model. Right. That's right. So that feeling is formed, is initiated by the fact that you're comparing to other people. You have models in your mind. You're right. That's right. That's right. That's the source of the feeling. But once you get that feeling, now you start to activate it with regard to other people. But you're right. You can't be an Anasim Al Pachalko if there's nobody else to, no other way to compare yourself. It's inherently a comparative thing. That's true. Yep. Okay. Very good. Shkar.
Yeah.
So I guess I just press stop, right?
The red button first.
The red button first.